tell you a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between dying to self and dying to all relationships besides Christ? Or dying to all people?
Well, I don't know what it means to die to people.
Or dying to all the relationships that that you people are idols, or you place value in them, or is that?
Well, I mean, you know, he said it. He answered it. He said, "No man can come to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, and children, and his own life also." So if that's what you're talking about, but then by the same token, we're under obligation to love one another, including, and we're under obligation to meet need wherever we see it.
Well, that's an offshoot of our death and him living.
Well, it's his life in us.
It's his gift to us, I guess.
All right. We'll never get through chapter 17, verse 10, but there's a lot of stuff in there. It said, "So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." So we're going to spend some time on duty. All these words that people don't like. Sometimes duty is described as a debt. Sometimes it's the same word. Sometimes it's an obligation. Sometimes it's translated as must needs. But it's the Greek word aphalo, A-F-A-L-O in the... So let's look at a follow. Let's go to John 13. This is again that. Well, let's just, in order to get the context, let's start at verse 1, because this is his Passover, the Last Supper. "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet also, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet to wash one another's feet. Now, ought there is this word, a follow. Your duty is to wash the other's feet. Anybody have any response to this? All right, let's go to the next one. Romans 15. Then we are in chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Again, a follow, ought. We bear the burdens or the infirmities of the weak. Romans 15, verse 1. All right, again, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So again, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. Did you hear that thump?
Yeah. What thump?
It was what?
I didn't hear any thump.
Yeah.
Must
have been this.
No, it was outside.
Oh,
never mind.
I didn't hear it.
Well, let's start in verse 1, chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must needs go out of the world. Again, he's talking here to the Seder groups, to the small, in Corinth, there was a community, much like what we have here. There were several Seder groups. A It's not talking about companying with the world system. You're companying with people that are fornicating. It has to be addressed. Huh, Jeff?
Sure.
And it's an ought to. Okay, let's go to one more.
Obviously, that's an ought, but is there a
must word? Needs is a follow.
Must needs, okay.
All right.
I appreciate your humor, but why did you bring up Jeff?
Do you remember a couple of instances since you've been here?
Fornication.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Okay, I thought you might. We're talking about the one that everybody knows.
That's out of line, Ollie.
All right. I mean,
that's out of line.
I'm glad you disapprove.
I do.
Okay, 1 John chapter 2. Let's start in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. But he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought to follow himself also to walk, even as he walked. And let's look at two more in 1 John. Let's go to chapter 3. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's a duty. One more, and then we'll talk about how this is manifested. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now all those are a follow, a duty, ought, need, must. What happens if you're not doing it? What happens if you're not doing the duty? You try to do it? No, you repent. And you repent because you're not doing it, because somehow you entered back into the picture. Everybody understand that? So repentance, again, is, it's you can see that just about all there is repentance, if we are to manifest that life which is him in us. Amen? The only guide we have is this book.
That's right.
If we're not doing something that's commanded, our only response isn't to try to do it, our response is to repent. That's why these are, all these oughts are here. We could go on and on. They're all over the place. It's repentance, repentance, repentance that releases the power of God and that makes manifest the life of Christ. Without repentance, we're kidding ourselves. Everything we've studied in the last few days about this, these words in Luke 17:10 is all, it's all about calls to repentance.
I guess it's the, where does this life come from?
We're back again to the same thing. It's
yes.
His repentance. It's His life in us, but He will not occupy where we are. That's why repentance is the mystery that releases the power of God, which is Jesus Christ in us. There's no other, there's no other way that this could be manifested, that these words could be understood.
The guy said, what should I do to do the works of God?
You believe on Him, He has sent.
On Him.
But what is believed there?
Well,
it's not.
You will say it's repentance.
No.
Because that's what you say about everything.
I will say believe is a whole lot more. It means there is 100%. It's not like I believe in the light sound or I believe the whatever. It's the believe is an pistos. It's a total abandonment of your, you've lost the right to yourself in every arena. Just like we tell you about servant, doulos, bondservant. If you're not, if it's not being manifested, then there must be repentance. There's no other way. That's why the scriptures were written. All right. Anything else? I mean, I don't know that this can be resolved, but because we're back at the same place.
I guess I hear it.
Why would these words be written like this in the Bible? They're even stronger in Greek.
Well, why are the words I said written in the Bible? I mean, there's something.
Which one? Which word?
I just said. Well, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus.
The author and finisher of faith.
On Him.
No question.
No question. Recognize that the power of God is intrinsic in His own person.
He is the power of God.
And He is the power of God. So,
if you're not doing that, then what is taking place is the old man has risen from the dead.
But according to the way you talk, He has always risen from the dead. Momentarily. But it wasn't really dead. He rose right back up and lives.
Okay, let's look at the life.
Repents.
Let's look at the life of Christ.
What?
Look at the life of Christ.
Okay.
The reason it's silent before His baptism is because He did everything we do. He found out, my God, that's just empty air. That's just a puff of smoke. That's meaningless. He used His mind, the Son of Man. And He used it to the full extent. And He saw the emptiness and futility of all activities, especially His own mind. that point, God called for his baptism, his burial, the Son of Man. Buried. We know that from that time on, he said, I can do nothing of or from myself, but what I see the Father do. And it was not that he didn't have a miniature television set. It was this mind of Christ, which is total emptiness, so that the channel between him and the Father is clear. That same thing has to be repeated in us. That's why we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is tested in you the same way it was tested in him. Except we don't have to go to the cross. We don't have to go down to hell for 3 days. But it's still, it's the same exact test. Are we going to use our mind, or are we going to live by faith alone? We know, as I've talked to you so often, we know of a few instances where he was tempted to use his mind, where he didn't keep that channel clear. But instantly he repented. But for the rest of the time, he was God. He saw in all these normal instances, like you and I would think, he automatically repented because he had already seen the futility of it. Now that's why our walk as believers has to have as its predicate the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ is emptiness. Emptiness to the point of a vacuum. And unfortunately, the default position is always back to the one that raised himself from the dead with almost every stimulus. If you give in to it, if it's something other than faith, he's not going to kill you, but then you have to wait until you see the futility and emptiness of that. That's why it says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down the imaginations. Otherwise, we're just Gentiles with God's name on us. That's what I tried. That's what I wanted to be, because I wanted to be able to keep my life. But just about everything we've studied from the standpoint of being a servant to what it says about commandment to, like, all of them have this as the predicate.
Yeah, it's clear that we're unprofitable servants.
Yeah, if we think that we're anytime we think we've done anything right, then we've done everything wrong. Anyway, that's the end of that. Well, let's just read it so the whole thing there, that one parable, so we can get the whole picture. Starting verse 7 of Luke 17. This is one we've studied so much, had so much discussion about over the last few weeks. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come down from the field, go and sit down to meat or eat? And will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that, or only that, which was our duty to do. somewhere, if you're not doing these things, the only response is, Father, forgive me. I paid attention to the evil one again. I know of no other way to interpret the scripture, this parable, but what we've said. In fact, the whole Bible. Consider these things. Thank you, big guy.